When I was in high school, I was often faced with a dilemma. See, in 11th and 12th grade, I was able to have, with my brother, season's tickets paid by yours truly to the New York Rangers. And so often the conflict that we had was, do we go to the game or do we study for our midterm, our final, our test, our whatever? Do you write your paper? And I have to tell you that the conflict was often resolved in a very fascinating way. And that is that I studied, so to speak, at the Rangers game in between periods, during intermission breaks. Yeah. So that's how I justified to myself that it was going to be okay. And that's how I justified to myself that I made the right decision. Now, I guess in the long run, I graduated high school, I graduated college. I professionally set myself up. So I guess in the end, it worked out okay. But the question is, how do we resolve conflicts like that, where we have two conflicting things that are equally important? On the one hand, I want to do X. On the other hand, I need or want to do Y. How do I decide which one I can go with and which one I can't? And I think that as life goes on, those conflicts become a lot more complicated. I want to be successful professionally. I want to be the best in my field, but I also want to be available for my family. And so how do I do that when there's only 24 hours in the day and my job demands a lot of hours? And how do I do that when my family also demands a lot of hours? How do I reconcile the two? It's a really, really good question. And I think the answer is found in a very obscure source. The Rambam writes that Mitzvah Ner Chanukah hi mitzvah chaviva hi ad me'od. It is a very, very, very precious mitzvah. And that's a very strange thing for the Rambam to write. You see, the Rambam is not a book of hashgafa where he gives you these nice, good feelings. But rather, what is the Rambam? The Rambam is a halachic work. So he's telling you, this is a mitzvah you have to do, this is a mitzvah you don't have to do, this is how you have to do the mitzvah. The Rambam does not engage in telling us that this is something that we really like, this is something that we should feel really good about. So why is it that the Rambam kind of changes from his usual style of writing and puts that in? It's a good question. So I heard an answer, a beautiful answer, by Rav Chagai Raviv last week. And this is what he suggests. He suggests that to understand the answer, we have to take a look at a Gemara. The Gemara at the end of Sukkah tells us the story of Miriam Bat Bilga. Who was Miriam Bat Bilga? Miriam Bat Bilga was a girl who married one of the Greek officers, and she goes into the Beis HaMikdash and she kicks the Mizbeach and she screams out, locus, locus, fax, fax, until when are you going to destroy, consume the wealth of the Jewish people and not be there for them in their time of need? That's what she says. And the question, and because of that, the Gemara says that's why the house of Bilga, they ended up getting their locker where they stored all of their things for their week of work in the Beis HaMikdash. It was locked. And they had no access and they had to borrow a locker of their friend. And so the question is, how is that fair? Miriam Bat Bilga was one girl who, she went off the beaten path. And yet, the whole family should suffer. So what does the Gemara tell us? The Gemara tells us, no. It wasn't just that Miriam Bat Bilga was a bad girl. She did something that was not nice. But it was more than that. You see, the mistake that was made by the entire house of Bilga is that they were always late. That's right. Whatever time they were scheduled to be there, they always came a few minutes late. And so because of that, the rabbis punished them. So the question is, which one is it? Is it that it was Miriam Bat Bilga and what she said? Or was it Miriam Bat Bilga's family, what they did? And so the answer that most give is that it's very simple. You couldn't have a Miriam Bat Bilga without a family like that. And therefore, it makes sense that the two go hand in hand. But Rav Chagai suggests something very different. He says that, you know what? Miriam Bat Bilga and her family were conflicted. See, they cared about the Jewish people. They cared so much about the Jewish people. And it bothered them so very much that the Jewish people were suffering. And they, as wealthy, well-to-do Kohanim, looked around and saw all the poor people that would come with their entire life savings to bring a korban because that's what the Torah prescribed. So when Miriam Babilga kicked the Mizbeach, what she was saying was, I don't understand how is it could be that you, the Mizbeach, don't take care of the Jewish people. It's inconceivable. That's what Miriam Babilga felt. So, what happens? Miriam Babilga felt that way. But she also, while she felt that way about the Jewish people, she also had a concern and a care for God. So what would have to be? See, if each of them were 100%, if she truly cared about both of them equally, then somehow she would have to figure out a way to balance them out. But that's not what happened. You see, when you have two conflicting things, my job on the one hand, and my family on the other hand, the answer to how to make it work is that when I'm with my family, I'm 100% with my family. And when I'm at work, I'm 100% with my work. I strive to do both. It's balance, not compromise. I don't say, oh, I feel guilty when I'm at work and I feel guilty when I'm with my family. No, no, then you end up being nothing. But it's balance. I do my best at both of them when I'm there. That's how you deal with balance. He quotes Rabbi Lam saying, how does that tie into Miriam Babilga? Miriam Babilga was trying to deal with the conflict she had between her love of the Jewish people and her feelings towards God. The thing is, Miriam Babilga was not 100% committed to the Jewish people and 100% committed to God. She was 100% committed to the Jewish people. It bothered her to no end. But she was not 100% committed to God. She had her lingering doubts. How do we know that? Because that came from her family. The fact that they came continuously late showed that there was something inherently off in their feelings towards God. And so she had that also. If it's not 100% and 100%, then there's no balance and one will get smashed. Chanukah is a time where we celebrate the fact that there are a lot of values out there and a lot of good values out there. And we have to reconcile and somehow figure out a way to manage both of them, or all of them, if they're more than two. How do we do that? We do that by being 100% committed to our values of Torah, our values of our family, our values of mitzvot, our values of connection with God. We do that. We're dedicated 100% to all of them. That's what we're supposed to be. So what happens? The mitzvah is the little teeny tiny candles. And it's mitzvah chaviva hi ma'ad me'od. What the Rambam is saying is, it is so precious. Why? Because it's so small. And yet that light is what's going to light up the world for us. But we have to be committed 100% to all of them. How do you commit to 100% to something? Only when it's chaviva hi ad me'od. Only when it's really special. If it's not really special, then in the grand scheme of things, with all the major conflicts that are out there, what ends up happening is a person says, that one could go. Hanukkah tells us, take all the values, look at them really carefully, assess, judge, and say, I care about each of them. And if I do, then what happens? I have to be 100% committed to their success. If I am, that's how I balance my success. Have a happy Hanukkah, a great day.